Hey everybody, it's Andres off the record. I have some notes because I don't want to forget what I have to say, and I gotta be transparent with you. This is actually my second version of this video because the earlier version I recorded, I have to redo it because of what's transpired during post-production. So there's a clip of it, of the original video I'm gonna keep because the transition will still be okay, but overall, what's occurring is it's crazy. So. On social media today, I posted Execute Order 66. That's a famous term from Star Wars when in Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, Emperor Palpatine issued an order to kill all the Jedi. Or in other words, the Purge of the Jedi. In this case, it's Big Tech issuing the order as they're literally going around eliminating every conservative social media account that they can. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, among others. And they're also strong-arming Parler to impose their own censorship rules, the draconian measures that they use in their own socials, on Parler itself. Otherwise, Parler's going to be banned from the app stores from both Apple and Google. So that's what's going on. President Trump has been permanently banned from Twitter. That's where the snowball really started picking up today. And this is it right here. They're launching a mass cyber attack on the Trump voters. So here, John Mates from he's the chief executive of Parler. He responded. Apparently, they believe Parler is responsible for all user-generated content on Parler. By the same logic, Apple must be responsible for all actions taken by their phones. Every car bomb, every illegal cell phone conversation, every illegal crime committed on an iPhone, Apple must be accountable. Must be responsible for. So, that's what's happening. So I'm gonna go back to my website here, because my website, this is the reason I did it, and this is the reason why. If you see on my website, I have a login register. So for those of you that are not familiar with my show and have discovered me as of late, I'm Andres Segovia. I do the Andres Segovia Show. I talk about real estate, tech, and life. I'm a local broker in Southern California, and that's what I tend to do. Now, I have a segment on my podcast called Off the Record, which does not go to my public show because, first off, I don't believe in pushing or interjecting into politics what I'm advertising as real estate, tech, and life. So that's what I talk about there. So on my website is where I put my Off the Record podcast where I talk about anything and everything that interests me. And I also have other podcasts that I do, entertainment podcasts that I talk about movies, TV shows, video games, soundtracks, technology, books, and all these various different shows on my website. And that's where the podcast lives. So I did that because first I wanted to protect my content from the big big tech platforms because I know they would do this. Because I don't have a popular opinion, according to them. And also, because I also respect that not everybody wants to hear about politics, so I invite them to come have a conversation. Now, unfortunately, my information can't come to you. It can't be curated because the big tech algorithms won't allow it to, but some people have discovered me, so I appreciate those of you that have. Now, you're probably watching this on Rumble, so normally on what I do is on the show notes accompanying this at my website, www.theandresagova.com, I normally post other things there too. So technically, yeah, my podcast, the auto versions at the top, when you scroll down, as you'll see in a few, you'll be able to see that I do put other content there for you to experience, to either where I either elaborate or show you what I was discussing when I don't interject it like this, because I'm not in my studio today. I'm doing it from my office. I had to stop what I was doing to give this attention because, it's crazy what's going on. And this is the fallout from the Capitol riots, to which I piggyback off what I said in my previous two installments of Off the Record. I said, what did you expect would happen? Because I know the conservatives feared that should Biden have gotten his way and he won, which ended up happening, there would be this clampdown on freedom of speech and the loss of the Second Amendment. Well, the actions of the Capitol riots not only emboldened them to do it, they triggered exactly what they intended to do ahead of time. And here's the worst part. You gave him a reason. Those of you that participated in the lawlessness that transpired. I said what I said about that. Now I want to proceed to talk about the three things. The three things that I want to talk about was the fallout, which is this, the purge, literally. Two, the questions that are raised with respects to what transpired at the Capitol riots and also with the election integrity. And three, where do we go from here? So I already showed you the purge. Let me show you what else is happening now. Sidney Powell, that was bringing the lawsuits in the swing states. She's being sued by Dominion Systems, voting systems, for $1.3 billion. Defamation lawsuit. With this, that's crazy. And this is where I'm going to explain the questions part because of what this is about. There's a lot of confusion. Not confusion, it's on purpose. That they say, oh yeah, the election fraud cases, irregularity cases, whatever. Look, there's three different groups that were suing. Trump at the individual capacity as a candidate, not the campaign, as an individual, represented by, I believe, John Eastman, Attorney John Eastman. That was him in his personal capacity, participated in the in his personal capacity in the Texas lawsuit against the other states in the Supreme Court. Two, the Trump campaign, headed by Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis. Then there's Sidney Powell, representing the people. She and attorney Lynn Wood. Three different sets, and that's not even counting all other individual groups, representatives, and other cases in these individual places at different districts, different counties, different states, all throughout, including California. There's stuff actively happening right now in California. So when you hear about, 60 cases have been tossed out, it's not Trump. Trump's only brought the one main one was the Texas one, and then three through his campaign. So you could say four total. So Sidney Powell, while looking like she's acting the capacity of Trump, was not. So the in clarification as to what this whole illegal voting versus irregularity stuff, in the case of the Trump campaign, they were arguing, I know, I got dogs barking in the background, sorry. In the case of Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis, the case they were bringing was that the states illegally changed the rules to benefit them. Saying that you can still submit a vote after election day, mail-in ballots without any signature or ID verification and stuff like that. Just in mass unsolicited mail-in voting. That's what it's called. That's what was done. So with all that, that's what they were challenging because they say, look, that was wrong. In the case of Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood, they were arguing that Dominion voting systems, which have a history of being untrustworthy, including the left-wing Democrats and the extreme left-wing Democrats, like oh my goodness, what's Pocahontas' real name? Oh my goodness, Elizabeth Warren. Even her, even she had concerns about Dominion systems, but they were installed. So the claim was that the Dominion systems, which was, should not have been connected to the internet, but were, and if photography evidence proved that they were, they're connected to a modem. The claim was that the tabulation of the votes were being sent out of the country, specifically Canada, in Toronto, were bounced off to Barcelona, Spain, and also Frankfurt, Germany. The most infamous part about Frankfurt, Germany was an armed forces raid to a CIA black center called Seidel in Frankfurt, Germany in mid-November that everybody seems to have forgot about. So that's what transpired. That's what she was bringing up to, which why the conspiracy theory stuff talk is because of the massive case that she was bringing to that effect that courts did not hear or see. So the evidence wasn't brought forth. Same case in Rudy Giuliani. He was doing a two-prong approach. One, going to the courts to bring attention to the complaints of the evidence in violations of Article 2 of the Constitution. And the other case being going to the state legislators to force them to do hearings and act upon that because the state legislators have the right to certify the vote. Technically, they're the ones that are supposed to do it, not the Secretary of State. So those were the things that were being brought up. And of course, Trump, as in his personal capacity, there were other cases that did end up victorious and nothing came of it because the media never gave it coverage. Nothing ever happened, and I won't go into all that. So an example of what I mean on my website about, well, I'm going to get to my website by clicking podcast. So you see podcast, it drops down two arrows, the Anderson Govich Show and then Off the Record. So I'm going to go to Off the Record because I want to pull up one of my episodes. These are all the shows that I do, but I'm going to Off the Record here. I don't have time to show you the other stuff. I'm just going straight to my political commentary and analysis and stuff. So you'll see a list of my episodes there, but I'm going to one specific. I spent 8 weeks covering anything and everything in reference to the election. Election Groundhog Day is what I called it, because it was just unending. So it was a summary of everything, of all the evidence that was being presented, and debunking some of that stuff that was not evidence, on a weekly basis. And I didn't cease regardless of the holidays. And then I would put other content there too, to also show and expand on what I was talking about. The last one that I posted on, to that respect, was January 1st, because the congressional joint session was this week. So I documented all that because I knew it was going to happen. So you can actually check these out on my website. And I even mirrored these episodes over to Rumble, because not all of them went up on YouTube. YouTube's doing a purge too, so I ended up mirroring them on Rumble. But you can find anything and everything regarding that on my website. That you don't have to register to see them just yet, but the wall will be going back up to protect my stuff. So anyway, anything and everything that was being discussed from the Trump campaign capacity was from Rudy Giuliani's YouTube channel. So we'll see what turns up. And in fact, he just posted up for now an episode that I'm going to watch for myself later after I'm done with this recording. So with all that being said about the crap that's going on, this is one of the questions that needs to be responded to. This is the other questions that needs to be responded to as to what exactly happened at the Capitol riots. The video I presented yesterday, that I said that there was a little bit longer version of the video, found it. I'm glad someone was reposting it, because this needs to be seen and understood. So I'm going to play it for you, then I need some commentary there. Okay, so up to this point where we saw the other video, clip from here and up. This part is the photographer, I believe is from the Huffington Post, that is coming over to that position where the officer has the mob at the door. The door is open and he's holding them back. One guy, if they were storming the Capitol, why were they not overwhelming one officer? Okay, keep watching. Okay, so around here is where the original clip stops, and this is the rest of it. I'm going to highlight two moments here because it's important for context, because this is happening kind of quick. It's a play-by-play, for which is why some are calling it very questionable, and some people call it it's suspected psyops, because of the positioning of where the camera is, where in proximity the police are, and basically how they're technically being led. But even also question is that these guys that are coming in don't even look like Trump supporters when they're dressed all black. But there were Trump supporters, okay? I'm not saying that Trump supporters weren't involved. They were involved. They had extreme ones out there, including Nick Fuentes that was out there. So no one can say that they weren't. So I'm not trying to say that, oh, these were interpreters, it was all Antifa. No, but Antifa tactics were involved. The Antifa was present. They were involved too. So maybe they're the ones that encouraged others. We're not going to know, at least not yet. One of the questions need to be answered. But I want you to finish watching this part, okay? Because this is where it gets interesting. What do you mean they're here, they're here, they're here? It's like he was giving time for, this is why I look suspect. It looked like he was giving time for the crowd to amass every time, like, okay, they stop here, then all right, gather up, gather up, gather up, then go up, stop again, gather up, gather up, gather up, so it can look like a bigger mob instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, or how about this, close the door. Now, let's see the rest of this. That's where it looks interesting, because now they're saying, okay, you got to leave now. What? So, like someone said, look at the photographers while they're going up the stairs, and at the end, the officer's leading them where they where to go, and gives the guy a little nudge and says they're here. When they're at the second floor, the officers just walk up and say leave. They're saying paid actors. Look, this is all we got to go on, and it looks weird because then there's this. This is another angle of protesters being let into the door. The doors were open, the police are there guiding them in. Here we go.
Fucking traitors!
They're gonna lock us in.
Why don't you see what the police are?
You can disagree with it, but respect it.
Come on.
You are down in hell. That's my motherfucking house.
Let's go.
The traitors.
Get inside now.
So, will we get the answers? I don't know. I don't know. But I certainly hope so. So, I've addressed the two things. I've shown you what the fallout was. As I told you, it was going to be swift. Number two, the questions that will not be answered, that will forever cast a shadow of the doubt on this election, especially what transpired there, because the convenient timing of what was happening at the Capitol prevented the evidence that no court would listen to because they said there was no standing, even though there was merit. They didn't want to hear. It was going to be heard for the first time publicly and debated. And the point of that was that if there was enough reasonable doubt that the certification of those elections or those electors were tainted, that it would be sent back to those state legislators to figure it out, or the House of Representatives would have to vote on it. And we'll never get to see that because conveniently it was stopped. Which is why, based on the videos that I just showed you, I have questions about the storming of the Capitol building. Third, where do we go from here? The left has called for unity. Their idea of unity, the purge, rank and file, mark those that did not agree with what they said. But I also did an episode, let me see if I could find it here, where I documented just that they're not looking for unity whatsoever. And this whole talk about impeaching Trump, like, why? That's not only is there talk about impeaching Trump, and or removing him with the 25th Amendment, but also the talk of where is it? What's the survey box? That all this action is being taken against conservatives right now, but. Why Biden went up today and started using Nazi propaganda terms to talk about the big lie, he's referring to himself, and just not uniting us, dividing us even further. So instead of trying to bring us together, literally, it's segregating us even further. So that's their idea. I love this picture that the mainstream media anti-Trump rhetoric blows up America and it says time to heal. Yeah, so I did an episode about this back on November 25th because they're calling it time to heal. And I even put other content here to show you just how celebrities were talking about. They don't want, like Michael Shannon says, I don't want unity. I want them dead. He wants to go kill him. In the case of Pedro Pascal, he said a bunch of ridiculous stuff. He took down his stuff, but hey, the internet lives forever. Now, I want us to unite. But the left doesn't want to. And now they feel they have just cause not to unite. And that's just going to further create this division. Because if supposedly you're concerned about the conservatives and their attempted insurrection or overtaking of the Capitol, why are you going to piss them off even more? If you're concerned about them. And that's what's happening. Antagonizing instead of trying to find a bridge to bring us together. So what does that mean for those of us? Look, I just want to wrap things up like this. There's two thoughts to this, and they kind of blend in together as to what transpires next. And as someone speaking as a member of the faith, I'm a Christian. I have my own issues. I take it up. That's between God and I. But the things that I can speak to are that as a believer, I also understand the events need to happen that are less than agreeable. Some of us don't want to see it in our time. But there are moments that are necessary, particularly with the United States, that need to happen for prophetic reasons. And we are at that point that, yes, certain events that have occurred have prophetic meaning to it. As in, these are the steps that are necessary for the return of Jesus Christ. And for myself, as someone, as a historian and someone that's that study eschatology, I'm like, huh, I said long before that if Trump wins, it's God's mercy. If Biden wins, he's coming sooner. So he's coming sooner. And it might be in my lifetime, or it might be my kids' lifetimes. But if I get to see it, that's a reward for my faith. That's awesome. And I know some people are scared about that, and to each their own. But I take solace in knowing that, because hey, I didn't live an easy life either. So I've always been the underdog wherever I've been, wherever I've gone. I've been confronted. I've been assaulted. I've been physically attacked for my views. So to me, it's nothing new. It's just I know some people didn't want it to come to this point, but it just might, or it already has. I don't want to say, oh, it's the end. No, it's not either, because no man knows the time or place. But the point is that there it is. And on the second note, it's kind of personal in a sense, but it kind of correlates to all this. There's some evangelicals that express their concerns with how other evangelicals were so almost like a cult-like following with Trump. As a Trump supporter, it's one thing. But this cult-like following to Trump, I did see it, but I didn't grasp it until this point. I had a conversation with my father about it, and he brought it up, and it shined a light, and it reminded me of how it was for me in a personal relationship that I had with a friend. There were feelings there, and she was someone that definitely needed to organize and restructure her life, and I was there to also be a catalyst to help along the way, a close friend to help her along her journey to get her things in order, and in being a part of her journey and coming to Christ and seeing all that transformation in her, I didn't see how much I tried to get in the way of her relationship with God. And our friendship ended on a sour note, which was unfortunate and ultimately my fault. But because it was an abuse of trust that I blamed her on when history bears out that it wasn't like that. I misinterpreted the situation, but whatever. What happened, happened. And as much as it hurt, it took several months for me to hear from God that I tried to be her God. I tried to be the answer to help her instead of letting God do his work for her. So it brought perspective. I apologized eventually to her. And I have that eerie feeling or a similar feeling about what's transpired now. It's where Christians that were looking to Trump like as some kind of savior because of what he's done for the evangelical community and for the unborn, and how no one else has stood up to the evils in the government like he has. But in doing so, they compromised their relationship directly with God, and perhaps risked deifying someone they shouldn't have. And perhaps this is God's way, because how many people have been praying for him? Like, where was God in all this, some might be asking. Well, what if he was saying, let me remove him and let me show you what I can do? What if God's saying that? So take courage. Be of good cheer if you're a believer, because you know how the story ends. And I know human emotion can get in the way, but my human emotion is that I know how the story ends. It's just that now I know what part of that story we're in, and it excites me. And I look forward to seeing how far in this story I'm able to see in my lifetime. But like I said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And he is the one that we depend on. So depend on him. He's your comforter. And yes, continue keeping America in prayer. And our leaders, one thing that I struggle with is caring and praying for my enemies. I don't. It's really hard for me. Not to say that I think of Democrats and all of them as my enemy. No, absolutely not. Radicals, yeah, I have issues with. But no, I don't paint them with the bright brush like they do to us. If I do that, I'll be no better than they are. And I can't stoop to their level. But I do pray for God to have mercy on them. And that's what I'll leave you with. Thank you so much for watching this latest episode of Off the Record. Check out my stuff at www.theandrewsegovia.com. And I'll see you on the next one.